Well, we thought what we might do in this part of the show that would be helpful to you is talk a little bit about winter driving. Certainly this is the first big snowfall that we've had here this year, and that we've been lucky here in central Illinois of the past couple of years, generally speaking, and not having a whole lot of snow to contend with. But when that time comes along, it seems a good idea to review some basic safety tips for winter driving. And we'll be doing that here this morning with the help of Sergeant Bill Emery. He's safety educator and public information officer, speaking to us from the Illinois State Police, from their office in Posota. He's on the phone with us, and we are very pleased to have some of his time. Sergeant Emery, thank you very much, first of all, for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, sir.
Maybe we could just start out with, as I say, when we get to this point of year, we get the first snowstorm. We like to try to remind people of some basic things to keep in mind while you're driving in conditions like this, when there may be visibility problems, when roads may be slippery, when they may be snow-packed. What would you say that people should keep in mind when they're out in their cars in this kind of weather?
Well, one of the main things you need to ask yourself is, do you need to be out in this weather? Do I need to drive? Do I have to get to this destination? If it is yes, then one of the things you do need to be aware of that you have to drive very much more defensively just due to the road weights itself, and that you should wear your seatbelt.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about defensive driving, are you basically talking about going slow and being very vigilant, looking at what other drivers are doing around you just to make sure that if maybe they make a mistake or something happens, that you're not going to be then involved in their mistake?
Exactly. You're going to be scanning, especially as you come up to an intersection. You're going to scan left, right, and forward, and then left again. And you're also going to go much slower. You're going to increase your following distance. We have what's called a 3-second following distance. That's going to increase due to the snow and to the ice. And due to the poor visibility, you're going to add more seconds. So we're looking at probably like 5 to 6 seconds of following distance between vehicles.
Mm-hmm. What is that in terms of, does it help at all, do you think, for people to think about that in terms of car lengths?
Well, not so much as car length, as seconds. What you can do is you fix a point, find a fixed point, and what you do is that the tail bumper of the vehicle goes past that fixed point, then you start counting 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and then you should be hitting that fixed point. And again, due to inclement weather, that has to increase. In other words, you're going to have to add more seconds for each inclement weather.
Right. Do you think people should just almost assume that intersections are going to be slippery?
Almost definitely. On the way to work today, it was very slick, and the snow hadn't started yet. The roadways were cold and somewhat slick, so you do just assume that they're going to be slick. And because of most traffic being at intersections and not knowing what they're going to do, and with people trying to beat the lights, you know, a lot of thinking that I can still beat the light is still on a lot of people's minds. And red lights to a lot of people don't mean red. So when you're at the intersection, even though the light is green, with the weather being as bad as it is, you do, before you pull out into the intersection, you do need to make sure that everyone has stopped.
Yeah, that's something that I seem to see more and more. You know, when I've talked about this with law enforcement people, they say, well, that's not exactly new, that it seems now that people are trying to beat yellow lights, or sometimes even they haven't even entered the intersection yet, and you know, because the light in front of you is green, that their light was red, but you see people barreling through there all the time. I don't know if that really is new, but what you're saying, at a time like this, you really want to be careful about that.
You really have to be extremely more careful.
I'm not real old, but old enough to remember the days before anti-lock brakes, when the advice about conditions like this involved, when it was going to be slippery, involved pumping the brakes.
That's correct.
And also now, one of the things I know about if you have anti-lock brakes is you're not supposed to do that, and that a lot of folks really don't quite understand what anti-lock brakes are, how they work, and how they feel when they're doing their thing, and how it is that you're supposed to work with them?
Okay. With anti-lock brakes, what happens is they do the braking or the pumping for you. So when you come to an intersection, let's say on just regular dry pavement, you just press firmly on your brakes. Now, in inclement weather such as ice, when you start to press on your brakes, what you'll feel is a pulsating or pulsing feeling in the brake. Mm-hmm. And you'll feel one side kind of making somewhat of a noise. That is normal. The thing is, with anti-lock brakes, the more you pump them, the less brakes you'll have. So you do not want to pump anti-lock brakes.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to remind people of, particularly if they haven't been familiar with them or they haven't experienced that, because you do get that pulsing. You'll feel it, and
exactly.
some folks might think that means something's wrong, but in fact that means no, they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Exactly, and you may even hear somewhat of a grinding sound, and again, that is normal. The brakes, what they're doing is they're not locking up. What they're doing is they're catching or gripping, so that you'll feel it at different sections or different sides of your vehicle. But that is entirely normal.
Yeah, and in fact, what they're actually doing, they're doing what we used to tell people to do. Only they're doing it very quickly and very selectively in a way that you manually simply couldn't do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anything else that, you know, generally speaking, you might say in terms of, you know, we've talked about, make sure that you watch out for other people, that you're careful when you're approaching intersections because you figure that they're going to be slick, that you allow maybe more distance between yourself and the vehicle in front of you than you might ordinarily. Anything else that you might add to that list?
Well, yeah, when you're skidding or sliding, I'm looking at the rules of the road book, and it says that the rules of the road state that you should steer into the direction of the skid.
Right.
Well, if you are sliding, the National Highway Safety Council has now stated, rather than turn your wheels in the direction of the skid, you need to turn your wheels in the direction that you want the front of your vehicle to go. And that kind of makes sense, because if you start to turn your wheels in the direction of the skid and you should hit a dry pavement, then you're going to go whatever direction your wheels are pointed.
Uh-huh.
So by turning your wheels in the direction that you want the front of your vehicle to go, in case you do hit that dry spot, then you're going to prevent going into or having a crash.
Now, I think it's really interesting you bring this point up, because this is the first time I'm hearing this. I'm also that mind that, or at least, you know, you've heard over and over again that old advice that if you skid, turn in the direction of the skid. And this is going to be something that maybe is going to be hard for people to get out of their head, because we've heard it so much.
So much, exactly. And that's how you were taught. But there was so much confusion on that. When I teach defensive driving course classes and I ask that question, and then when I use myself as an illustration, that here I am now going to the left, and now what direction do I want to go in case I hit a dry spot? And with my wheels being turned in the, like if I'm going to the left, if my wheels are turned left, that's going to result in me being involved in a crash. Yet by turning my wheels in the direction I want the front of my vehicle to go, it will definitely make my car go that direction. And, you know, case in point is yesterday I was doing a winter driving program, and I began to slide. And so what did I do? I turned my wheels in the direction I wanted the front of my vehicle to go, and I did hit a dry spot, and I was able to go that way.
Uh-huh. Something else that, I suppose a lot of folks have done this. I guess I would say that I was guilty of doing this. You're coming out to go someplace. There's been snow and ice, so you've got to clean off the windows of the car.
Yes.
But maybe it's frozen and you're having a tough time. Maybe you're in a hurry and you clear off just barely enough so that you can see out the front. And I do from time to time see people driving where clearly it seems clear to me that they can't really see out of the car in all directions, which to me seems kind of dangerous, but, you know, I guess I've kind of done that myself. And I'm sure that police officers, the advice that they would give would be, don't do that. You really need to have clear vision all around. Is that technically a violation of the law?
Yes, it is. It's called obstructed front side windows. Whenever you don't clear your windshield or your side windows where you're unable to see. That's just as putting up a barrier there or a rag where you can't see. It's obstructed.
Is that something that I imagine on days like this, law enforcement people are plenty busy, so they're maybe not going to be pulling people over and giving them tickets because they can't see out of the car. But technically speaking, if that would that's up to an officer's discretion. If they wanted to, they could pull somebody over and write them a citation for not being able to see out the car?
That is correct. That is correct. As you said, due to the weather being as bad as it is, we're not going to probably pull someone over for that. But yet, if they're involved in a crash and we notice that, they will be giving a citation for that.
Hmm. And maybe, again, people are going to just, they're not going to think about it. They're going to put their headlights on. But we did have this law that was passed a few years ago that said if you're using your windshield wipers, you need to have your headlights on.
Yes.
Would you say that it's, even if people are not, if you're dealing with conditions like this, it's a good idea to light up the lights?
It definitely would be a good idea to put your lights on. Not only will you be able to be seen, but you can see other people.
Maybe one other question that I'd ask, particularly because we do have people who listen to us, a lot of folks who live in rural areas, maybe traveling rural roads, where there always is the possibility that somebody might get stuck and might find that they were out in their car and might have to wait to get rescued.
Exactly.
First of all, I guess the advice is stay in the car?
Yes, stay in your car until help arrives, especially if you're out in the rural areas. Make sure that you have plenty of gas in your tank. This will minimize condensation, of course, but in case you do or are stranded for any period of time, you can at least run your car and keep you warm. Now, if you are going to run your car, make sure that your tailpipe area is clear of debris and that you have enough area around your tailpipe so that the carbon monoxide doesn't come up and poison you. You do need to have some sort of survival kit. And within that survival kit, you have a variety of different things you can have. And you can even make your own survival kit by using a 2 or 3 pound coffee can. And with that, just punch like 3 holes at the top of the can. And with that, you can start storing a lot of your stuff. Now, with this can, you're going to put like 60 inches of twine or heavy string that you can use to suspend this can in case you do need to heat up snow for water. You have 2 large safety pins so that it can also suspend over a candle, because you'll have at least one candle with 2 inches diameter that you can melt the snow with. And that this not only will melt the snow, but it will give you some warmth and some light too. Have a pocket knife or scissors. Have a bright cloth or several bright cloths that you can tie in your antenna or your door handles. When the weather is as bad as it is, and there's a lot of snow coming down, if you have a white car, and let's say you're down in a ravine, if you have something that is bright, that will attract our attention so we can at least see you. Have several packets of soup, hot chocolate, tea, bouillon cubes, something that when you mix with the snow that's melted, it will also give you some warmth and some nutrition. Get some peanuts, a small bag of peanuts. This will provide protein for you. You can have some fruit-flavored candy, orange slices, jelly beans, an extra pair of socks, cotton socks, extra pair of gloves or liners, and some extra clothing. You should also have several boxes of matches or a lighter. And there's sun shield blankets that you can get, or if you should choose to, you can get a large black or green plastic leaf bag, which this will help reflect your body heat. If you can, also have a pen light. And if you do have a pen light or flashlight, make sure that you keep the battery separate so it doesn't run them down until you actually need to use them. And use several blankets during this time of weather with the temperatures dropping way below zero, that you do need several blankets also.
Well, I'll tell you I guess I kind of neglected to mention at the beginning that if people who are listening to us had questions, I'm sure that we could take a couple. And I hope, Sergeant Emery, if you don't mind here hanging on for maybe a couple of minutes.
No problem.
I do have a caller, and I think that they're intending to call in and talk with us. And if there are other people who are listening, maybe if you have a quick question for our guest, Sergeant Bill Emery. He's safety educator and public information officer with the Illinois State Police. We're talking with him from Pasota. You could give us a call here on the show. Regular number, as always, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, let's go here to the phones, and we have a caller in Urbana on line one. Hello.
Hi. A relative was telling me that one time when he broke down, he fortunately had a magic marker and a big piece of paper, and he didn't have a cell phone, but he wrote on the paper with the magic marker, cell phone question mark. And so somebody called for them and said that they were broken down and they got help a lot faster. I thought that was pretty clever. It would not have occurred to me to have that in my little pile of emergency things to keep in the car all the time, whether it was winter or summertime. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. That's, you know, actually something I was just curious about now that more, and everyone does not, but more and more people have cell phones and they travel with them. And so if you get in trouble, if you do have a phone, you're able to call for assistance, whether that has meant that there are fewer people that get stranded, get in trouble, and then nobody knows where they are or that they need help.
Cell phones are a great use. And there are several numbers that you can call in case that if you're involved in a crash or you're in a ditch or something. Of course, you can always call 911. 911 will get you the local dispatch or the county dispatch. But let's say you're on the interstate, on the roadway, and you should need assistance. You can contact *77, which will give you the nearest state police headquarters.
Uh-huh. Okay. How do they know where you are if you can't give them a real precise location?
Well, that's another thing that you need to be aware of. At least have an idea of the general route that you're going to be taking. And that brings me back to, if you are going to be doing any traveling, you should always have or let someone know your primary route that you're going to take and your alternate route. By doing that, if you are stranded, then we have an idea of the general location that you'll be in. And also, not only do you give your friend or family your primary and alternate route, but let someone know the estimated time of arrival, the time that you'll leave and the time you should arrive. And again, that will help us out also.
Good, good thoughts. Let's go on here to another caller here. This is Urbana. It's line two. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you would give us the road condition website address.
Yeah, do you have that the website address for road conditions?
I sure do.
Sergeant Emery, can you give it to us?
I sure do. I believe it's the www.icepack.com.
Okay, so ICEPACK. Okay, icepack.com. And there also are the phone numbers where people can get a recorded message. The one for Illinois is 800-452-4368. And I think this is those numbers line up with the letters IDOT on the phone. That's Illinois That's Department right. of Transportation. And there also is one for the state of Indiana, which is 800-261-7623. So that is available on... for people who don't have internet access, they can call on the telephone. Oh, okay. And now Jack Brighton has just stepped in to remind us that it's not a .com, it's a .org.
Yes, I was just going to say that. I was just looking at that, icepack.org.
.org. Okay, yes. So otherwise, no telling what that'll yield for people.
Right, and I'm glad he said that because I was just, as soon as you got through, I was going to add that.
Okay, very good. Did caller, that get at your question?
Yes, it did. Thank
All
you.
Right, you're quite welcome. Let's go again to Champagne is the next person, I think. Here, line number three?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. Hi.
This is a helpful show. I try to walk or take the bus, and I don't drive that much, but when I do, I'm not very good at it. And I have a question about the pumping question of the brakes.
Yes.
I don't know if you know one car from another to be able to tell me this, but I have a Toyota Camry, like 86.
Mm-hmm.
Is that old enough that I would not have anti-lock brakes, or do you think I would have anti-lock brakes?
Well, that's something you have to check with your manufacturer.
Okay.
Not manufacturer, but your manual.
Yeah.
Just check your manual and see what kind of brakes you have. Yeah. More than likely, it may not be.
I would think that probably would be too old.
Right.
To have,
I think it's like
anti-lock brakes.
That they really started coming out. But again, check your manual.
If I can just ask about technique, I mean, what I usually do is before I get to a corner, I don't exactly pump it, but I start sort of, you might say, tap it. You know, I put the brake on very lightly to have a gradual slowing down.
Right.
And have it be kind of all at once. And I don't know if that would count as pumping anyway. I mean, that may be something everybody can do. I don't know. But is that sort of braking sound like a good idea, where you apply it lightly and repeatedly over a period of a fourth of the block or something?
See, that's not a problem at all, even with anti-lock brakes, as long as you let up on the brake as you go up and then press again on your brake. That's not constantly pumping your brake. So
what does pumping mean?
Pumping would be is as you come up to the intersection, you would just continually pump your brake.
That is press down on it, then let it up. Press down on it, then let it up.
Exactly.
I see.
Which is what the anti-lock brakes do, but they do it real fast, faster than
right.
you could do it with your
I see.
Foot.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, I think we've about covered it for the moment here, unless there's anything else, Sergeant Emery, that you think you might like to add that would be useful for people to know.
Just more or less, since it is storming out here, you need to ask yourself once again, do you really need to be out? And again, once you're out driving, you do need to drive very defensively, wear your seatbelt, have reliable transportation. A lot of people don't allow their vehicles to warm up to get the ice and the snow off their windshield. Make sure that your tire treads are good. Winterize your vehicle. Use your cell phone if you have an emergency by dialing either 911 or *77 for the nearest state police headquarters.
Okay. I think we have one more caller, so why don't we do that?
And all right.
This person is in Aurora, and it's line 4. Hello.
I want you to know it just started to snow up here. And the other thing I wanted to say was a brother-in-law told me a very wise thing. When you go out in inclement weather, have a plan of where you're going to drive. In my case, I can go north and it would be flat. I can go left and I'd go down a hill. I can go right and I'd go up a hill. So according to the weather, I plan my trip as to where I'm going to go. I think planning where you're going to drive, like you said, if you have to be out in this weather, is a very good thing to think about. Because you could use better streets, you know, streets that would be more accessible, more greater chance of being cleaned off from the snow, and that kind of thing. That would be my hint as to driving in this kind of weather. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Carefully plan your route. I think that's an excellent suggestion.
And know the latest weather conditions. If you're going to be traveling any distance, find out what the weather is. As the lady just said from Aurora, that we know now it's snowing up there. So just make sure that you know what the latest weather conditions are so you know whether or not to get out or stay home.
Well, Sergeant Emery, we really appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning. I think you've given some good tips, and hopefully people will pay attention, will take that to heart, and maybe we'll have fewer problems as we make our way through the winter.
Oh, I hope so, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Our guest, Sergeant Bill Emery, he's safety educator and public information officer with the Illinois State Police, speaking to us from Posotum. Well, it's a little bit past the midpoint of this hour of Focus 580, and we thought as the one of the two big stories of the day was the weather. It probably would be a good idea to talk a little bit about that, see if we can bring you a little information on safe driving, and also we'll be talking about what will be happening in the weather today. We did a little juggling of our schedule this morning. Our first guests for the 10 o'clock hour We were going to be talking about foster and adoptive care in Illinois. And in fact, they called us and said, look, because of the weather, they weren't going to be able to be here to be with us. And we said, we certainly understand that. We dropped down the 11 o'clock hour into the 10 so that we could do that show and thought we could spend some time in this hour talking about weather. And that's what we will do. And I think now what we're going to try to do is check in with Ed Kieser, our chief meteorologist, who I think is standing by in the Weather Center.
Yes.
Very good. I just...
It works. Technology.
It works. Technology. How about that? So I was just a little while ago, I took a look at the weather radar, and I'm not really quite sure what to make of it. It just, to me, it sort of just looks all blue.
Well,
now,
that's
maybe
the thing.
To you, it, you can actually make something out of that.
Well, the weather radar, snow does not have as high a reflectivity, so thus the radar just looks generally blue and uniform, and it's harder to pick out the snow bands on the radar screens that most people get to see at home. And there are some bands of heavier snow out there right now. A lot of stations reporting moderate intensity snow. In fact, the visibility is uniformly down to a half a mile over much of central Illinois. Bloomington, Decatur, Peoria, Springfield reporting half-mile visibility. Champaign-Urbana and Charleston-Mattoon down to a quarter-mile visibility in snow. So the snow is coming down hard. We have a report, Belleville, Illinois, this past hour picked up another inch of snow. They now have 4 inches from this storm, and it continues to pile up. We have gotten reports from around Macoupin County of 5 inches of snow. So there are some places that are starting to get the snow in earnest, so it's going to continue to fall. To add to the heavy snow warning you gave at the top of the hour, a few counties have been added to that, including McLean and DeWitt in our severe weather coverage area, and just to the west, Logan, Sangamon, Mason, Cass, Morgan, Scott, Menard, and Schuyler are all in that heavy snow warning now. They were in a snow advisory before. I'm not revising our snow totals at all, but I'm honing in on them more. This morning I was saying 4 to 8 inches. That's what Scott Olthoff and I started to say yesterday, and saw no reason to change it this morning, although I was hinting at the fact that I think the numbers would be on the higher end of that because of the snow fluffing up, and we're just going to use the high end of that and say Champaign-Urbana should get a snowfall total somewhere around 8 inches.
Wow, that's a significant amount of snow. We haven't really seen that in a while, have we?
No, we haven't. The last big snowstorm that we had here, you have to go back to just after New Year's Day of 1999, and that was the biggest snowstorm on record in Champaign-Urbana with a 15-inch snowfall. So we're not going to be up in that level, and part of the reason we're going to have so much snow is not only because it's going to be steady all afternoon, but because it is rather cold. It's a dry snow, and that tends to fluff up more than a heavy wet snow. Chicago picking up that foot of snow on Monday got a wetter snow, so they had a lot more water content than what we'll get out of this snow here.
So at least for us, it will make the business of removal will maybe be a little easier because that when you go out there to shovel, you'll find that it's light.
Yeah, it's actually the kind of snow that the snowblower will work in. So for those of you that have bought snowblowers and you're always frustrated with it getting clogged up, this should be a snow that you can go out and actually have fun with your snowblower. So that's one good thing about the snow. The heaviest snowfall totals, by the way, we still think are going to be to our south a little bit along the I-70 corridor. I think there will be some 1 foot amounts from down that way, a general 8 to 12 inch snowfall right along I-70 and then a little north and south of there. And the heavy snow warnings, by the way, for those just tuning in, are for southwestern through central Illinois and all of central Indiana. And there's a winter storm warning south of there all the way south of the Ohio River for some snow and ice as you get close to the Ohio River. To the north, snow advisories. So the roads will get slippery, but not as much snow will fall. Chicago area is only going to get 2 or 3 inches out of this the way it looks right now. Again, because it'll fluff up, it may be a 3-inch snow, but they're not going to be seeing anywhere near the snow they got earlier this week.
I wanted to maybe we have a caller we'll get to in a moment. And again, let me mention that There will be a special talk-to segment as part of the afternoon magazine this afternoon. So the forecast comes at the regular time, 12:35, and after that, talk-to. So we can do that segment. If you need some advice about places where you're traveling, do it then, because I'm not sure at this point we can really do that.
Well, we can a little bit. I've got the information here. I'll mention at 12:40, Mike Sola and I are going to team up to do that segment, which is something we've never been able to do before, because two sets of eyes are better than one, and he's seeing things that I may not see because we're so busy, and vice versa. So we'll give you the latest during that segment.
And there is a little closing cancellation information that I do want to pass on, too, because I think some of this may be new. Now, some of the places that we were talking about earlier this morning have already closed, but I'd just like to review a couple real quick for folks. First of all, if you have kids in Champaign schools, there will not be an early dismissal today. However, they have announced the following cancellations. Afternoon early childhood classes, pre-K, canceled. All afternoon and evening activities, after-school extended day tutoring classes, and there will be after-school child care program only until 5:30. In addition to that, the St. Joe Grade School will close today at 12:15. St. Joe Ogden High School will close at 12:20. Ogden Grade School will close at 12:30. In Urbana, early childhood afternoon session is canceled. Everything else, though, in Urbana today is regular schedule. Villa Grove schools will close at 1, and the youth club at Faith United Methodist in Champaign is canceled. This is an after-school program. So that's what we have right now. If we do get more cancellation closing information, we will pass that on to you just as soon as we possibly can. Well, we have a caller here in Urbana. Why don't we go ahead and see?
Well, I just have a couple things
yes,
I want to add.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
do.
First off, I want to announce that for road conditions on the WILL website at WILL.UIUC.edu, on the front page there, there is a link to road conditions. And I've just linked to it for the first time, and it has a phone number, 800 numbers for Illinois and Indiana. It also has a District 10 State Police for the Champaign County and surrounding county areas. And also the national traffic and road closure information at www.fhwa.dot.gov. Boy, we're getting into too many dots there. But anyway, you don't have to remember that one. Just link. If you go to our link there, then you can link to that. But we have that there, and it's right under the icon. It says, "Here, Ed Kieser's latest forecast." I didn't know you could listen to the forecast yet. I think you can see it, but I don't know if you can actually hear it.
Okay.
And one other thing, Joan Harshbarger called in earlier, our office manager, and said that she was driving around, and 90% of the people had not wiped off their headlights.
That's another thing. Maybe it's good. I was talking with the gentleman from the state police, and I had said it's a good idea to make sure your windows are cleared off. Well, that's another thing. Just to think about, brush them off, because when you're more visible to the other drivers, you're safer, they're safer. So, excellent suggestion. And as Ed says, we do have those sources of information for road conditions. They're on our website. If you're on the web, just go right there. It's WILL.UIUC.edu, and you can get them right there. Well, let's see what's on the mind here of this person in Urbana this morning on our line number one. Hello.
Hi there. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to listen to WIL this morning like I normally do, so I've missed all my forecasts. I'm just wondering what the wind is going to do. The snow doesn't bother me so much, but the wind. I live in the country.
Right. Well, there's going to be a little bit of wind, but this is the
hello.
Hello.
Can you hear us, caller?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to talk now, and the wind. There will be some wind, but it's not going to be excessive wind. And there's going to probably be a sustained 8 to 16 mile per hour wind. So with a light powdery snow, that's going to blow around a little bit, but we're not expecting the really strong winds that you sometimes get with winter storms, the 20 and 30 and 40 mile per hour winds. We're not anticipating with this. So that's some good news. But if you are in the country, it doesn't take much wind to at least blow things around a bit in the open areas. So there will be a little bit of drifting, but this is certainly not going to be one of those storms that we sometimes get in the middle of winter. Sometimes our worst ones are only with 1 inch of snow and a lot of wind. And she's right about that. And Right now, the wind speeds are generally in the 10 to 15 mile per hour range.
Okay, I hope that answers the caller's question. That's something that's really, I think, only if you've lived in a rural area or you've had to drive out there, that you appreciate that even a little snow, an inch, mm-hmm. 2 inches with very high winds can be a real problem for visibility. And perhaps it doesn't take too much more snow when you start to think about the possibility that roads actually might drift closed, or at least you'd have drifts that you don't want to drive into.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say there won't be any drifts out there. Obviously, a little bit of wind is going to blow the snow around some, but this is not a major wind storm. So okay. That's good.
A couple of other closing-related bits of information have just been handed to me. Dee Breeding, our front desk secretary, has been on top of this, and she just brought me in a couple of new ones. In addition to those that I mentioned, the Danville Board of Education meeting, District 118, has been canceled. They will instead have that meeting on December 20th, so next week has been rescheduled. First Presbyterian Church of Champaign has canceled its youth group and youth choirs. And St. John's Lutheran School in Champaign will be closing at 12:30. There will be no Little Lamb preschool afternoon session. And it's probably, as if I need to tell you this, it's probably a good idea if you're going someplace, if some activity, something that you think might possibly be affected by the weather or be canceled by the weather, check it out before you go. You wouldn't want to take all the trouble of getting there and find out that what you were going to wasn't happening. So you might want to check with them beforehand. We'll be here for our regular time here for about another 10 minutes. If someone did have a weather question, they could give us a call real quick. But as we've mentioned, coming up on the Afternoon Magazine today, a special talk to first time ever Ed and Mike together again for the first time. They'll be doing it together. So
I guess I should say officially doing weather. I was hosting Morning Edition once when Mike was on, but he was the weather guy and I was the host guy.
This time, two weather guys, two for the price of one. Anything else that's sort of interesting or noteworthy you want to mention about this particular storm?
Well, it's covering a very large area. That's one thing I want to mention. And it's slowed down just a little bit, so the snow may last into the evening hours here before tapering off. And because it's slowed down a bit, that's why National Weather Service is upping their snow accumulations a bit. And we already had them up a bit, so we're not really upping them, other than I'm saying I'm leaning toward the high end of the range that we originally went with. The heaviest precipitation will be in the southern half of the two-state area, and most of it will be snow. Freezing rain from about Paducah on southward. There's an ice storm right through Arkansas all the way down into northern Mississippi and northern portions of Louisiana. So this is covering a large area, and it's pushing eastward. So this is going to cause some major travel problems over a large area. Obviously, trying to get out of here, if you're flying or driving, it's a problem. But other airports will be affected as well. So even if you are able to get out of here, you may not be able to get back in.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at that same map you're looking at on one of my monitors here in the National Winter Weather. Man, it looks like we've got some nasty stuff going down in places where they're not used to having weather like this in Arkansas, in Louisiana, in I guess it would be Mississippi. Maybe parts of, I don't know about parts of Tennessee.
Right now in Memphis, it is 30 degrees with freezing rain. I'm just pulling up some observations. Little Rock, Arkansas is about 31 with freezing rain right now. Nashville, Tennessee is not getting the precipitation yet. They're at 34 with their dew points 21. When it starts, they're going to get into the ice. Paducah, Kentucky right now reporting freezing rain and 27 degrees. So, you go far enough south to get out of the snow, and then you're in the ice.
Yeah, but you talked about this on the air the other day. I'm sure people have been talking about it with their friends, just how lucky we were the other night when we got a great deal of rain and the temperature managed to stay just above freezing. We would have had a heck of an ice storm if it had been just a little bit colder.
Yeah, our thermometer here got all the way up to 33.9 degrees. So if we were 2 degrees cooler, we would have been below the freeze mark with a major ice storm. That storm track was online to where we were close enough. We had to at least make mention of the fact that we could have an ice storm. And we started out with ice, and of course, that storm did intensify, brought in strong winds, and pulled down cold air suddenly right for rush hour on Monday and caused some very slick conditions around here. And anybody tuning in from the Chicago area knows what happened with that storm, with the Midway Airport ending up with 14.5 inches of snow.
Yeah. Last, we talked about the fact that over the last couple of winters have been on the mild side. We have not gotten a lot of big snowstorms. I think actually the amount of precipitation really has not been very, not been what would be the average, I guess.
Well, average precipitation in the winter months is the lowest anyway. I look back, last year we were slightly below average in January, but above average in February, below in March. In last year for December, we were just a tad below average, but our average is only about 3 inches. So we were at about 2 inches last December. So we were a little bit below average on precipitation last winter, but we've been really below average on snowfall many of the last winters of the past decade. I think there's only been two winters in which we've been above average in the past decade, so on snowfall. And we've had some mild winters. If it wasn't for that one big snowstorm in January of 1999, we would have had below average winters for snowfall for 8 in a row. But that put us over by 3.3 inches for that winter season.
And I know people also have been talking about the fact that it's been cold. Are these actually unusually cold temperatures, again, when we're talking about averages for this time of year?
Well, the average high for today in Champaign-Urbana is 36 and a low 22. So we are below average. Yesterday was the coldest day we've had so far this season, and we had the high of only 10 yesterday. So it is below average, but we haven't been setting any records with this. All the record low temperatures are well below zero here. So it's cooler than average, but it's not unbelievably cold.
Mm-hmm. I think we were talking yesterday about the fact that January, or we've talked about this before, that January is the coldest month, and so it makes sense that that's the centerpiece of climatological winter. That's the center of winter, so it's the coldest month. July is the center of summer. It's the hottest month. So the kind of temperatures we've been experiencing certainly wouldn't be unusual for January.
No, it's just a little early, but we certainly are running below average, but the averages are just based on lots of above and below. That's why we call it average and not normal, because normal is abnormal around here, and we're just running on the low side of that right now. Now, with the snow cover out there, we're going to start to have some cold nights. That's when you start getting below zero readings at night when it clears out and goes calm.
One sort of weather-related closing update I want to pass on to folks. In addition to all of those things that I have mentioned, there will be no afternoon school at Sinai Temple today. Other than that, I guess I could run down this list one more time. We mentioned that Champaign schools will not dismiss early today, but the following cancellations: no afternoon early childhood classes. This is the pre-K. All afternoon and evening activities canceled. After school extended day tutoring classes canceled. And there will be after-school child care, but only until 5:30. The Danville Board of Education meeting, District 118, canceled, rescheduled for December 20th. First Presbyterian Church of Champaign canceling youth group and youth choirs. St. John's Lutheran School in Champaign closing at 12:30. No Little Lamb preschool afternoon session. St. Joe Grade School closing 12:15. St. Joe Ogden High School closing at 12:20. Ogden Grade School closing at 12:30. The Urbana Early Childhood afternoon session canceled. Everything else there normal day today. Villa Grove Schools close at 1. Youth group at Faith United Methodist in Champaign is canceled. That's an after-school program. Okay, so that's what we have for weather-related closings. And again, we'll try to keep you informed of all of that. If we receive that information, we'll pass it right on to you. We're coming down here. We have a couple of minutes left maybe in focus, and of course we'll turn things over to the staff of the Afternoon Magazine, and they'll just keep going here throughout the rest of the afternoon. Also, there'll be a special we will be carrying, thanks to National Public Radio, the program Talk of the Nation today at 1, preempting the show that they had scheduled, so we can kind of bring you up to date on the other big story, which is what's happening with the election. Is anything else weather-related you'd want to mention?
Well, we have the outlook of the storm moving eastward, and it looks like a major ice storm in the Ohio River Valley. So places like Louisville and Cincinnati will get into it. West Virginia and Kentucky are right in the prime area for a major ice storm. Meanwhile, heavy snow will keep going along I-70 from Indianapolis on over into Ohio, so it looks like Dayton and Columbus, Ohio will get heavy snow. Cleveland will get snow this time, and so will Pittsburgh will be on the borderline between ice and snow. So traveling eastbound into tomorrow is going to be very bad. Okay. And even later today, really from here anywhere now is bad because snow, as we know, is moving up into the Chicago area with that call from Aurora. And it's snowing just about everywhere in central and southern Illinois and Indiana with okay. ice in the far south.
Well, we'll continue to follow this and talk about the weather all through the afternoon, I'm sure. And we'll have another update on the forecast at 12:35 and then a talk to both Ed and Mike for talk to following the forecast as part of the afternoon magazine. So if people are, if you got to be traveling and you want to know what it's going to be like, where you're going, they can help you out. So thanks very much, Ed, and we'll be hearing from you again later on.
Okay, take care.